Four. Again, Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 4, we left off there last time. We went off on a little trail. It's a good trail. Went off on a little trail, but let's start back in chapter 3. We'll start off at verse 14 and we'll read on. There's a couple things I want to give you about the church and who we're supposed to be. Remember that we are, and it's going to say it in Ephesians 4, and he explains it a couple of different ways. But we are always should be looking like Christ. The church should look like Christ. If it doesn't look like Christ, then it's being ineffective. If we don't, a good way to find out if it's being effective or not is see what Christ looks like and then look in the mirror. It starts with you as an individual, first of all. It starts with us as an individual, but then also it starts with us as individuals and then as a corporate body also. If all of us were looking like Christ, then we can make up the body of Christ. We can't be the body of Christ with members being like Christ and others not. We can't fully be the body of Christ. And I know y'all know me, I like to get away from the cliche words and the stuff because we say things and we don't understand what we're saying sometimes because we've been saying it so long, but it's the body of Christ. All of us make up Christ. Like we make up his body on this earth. We make up the being of who he is on this earth. We are the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is not a cool little, thing you put on the wall to name your church. You know what I'm saying? I know a church called the Body of Christ Christian. That's good, and praise the Lord for that. But it's not just your cool little thing to say what Christians are or what church is. No, we are actually the body of Christ. Every joint supplies, we'll talk about that in a minute. All of us, if your joint is out of place, then the body is limp. Right. If your joint is not being effective, and they're talking about the effectual working, not just working, your knee could work, but being effective in his working. You ever walk around, you had something, your knee was hurting, or your ankle hurting, or your shoulder hurting, or whatever. Well, it's still working though. Now I can pick it up. You know what I'm saying? I can hold a little weight, but it's not effective because it's hurting me, because it's hindering me, because it's handicapping me, because it's painful to me. All right, Jesus already went through enough pain. He don't need no more. Body of Christ. Come on, body of Christ. He don't need no more pain. He already got stabbed in his side. What else does he need to do? He already got thorns in his head. He already got beat. He already got whooped. He already got nails in his hands, in his feet. He already got all that. He don't need none of that from us. He don't need for us to be handicapped. He don't need for us to be the pain in the shoulder. Y'all get that, body of Christ? Y'all understand what I'm saying? He don't need for us to be the handicap. He's enabled us to be like him. He's enabled us to function in it. And so we have to be mindful to not get caught up with everything else and realize that we need to be effective. And the only way that we'll be effective is through him. I can do all things how? How? Who what? Who strengthens me. I go to another scripture that says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Remember he told him that? Huh? Glorify in your infirmities. Be joyful in your infirmities. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Understand that in you, in yourself, in whoever you think. Today I had a moment. I had a moment today, and I said, we're talking, we say different things, and we all have the right things to say. And I said, well, I was listening to a song, matter of fact, and the song, the guy made a statement, and it's quick, and it's, the Holy Ghost talked to you anywhere, boy. And the guy made a statement, he said, Jesus is living, he made a little rhyme, he said, Jesus is living in my chest. Thought about it. And I said, Jesus is living on the inside of me. I said, so who am I? Who do I think that I am if it ain't that? Like, who is it that I've developed myself to think that I am when my identity is in Christ inside of me already? So I started wondering, well, who this house for then? We looking around, I'm in my head, y'all gotta forgive me, my imagination, I use my imagination. In my head, I'm inside and I'm looking around. Like I'm like, well, how we end up being two different people? Well, who am I then? If I'm from God, I didn't lose identity. If I'm from God, I came from God, my identity is in God, my identity is in Christ, I did not start myself. You did not get here yourself. You did not birth yourself. You did not make your own spirit. You came from somewhere. You came from something bigger than you, the Spirit of God. So if that's who the real me is, then who do I think that I am? And you got to kind of ask yourself that question, because I'm like, I got Montrell, I'm Montrell, you know, and I understand we need those things so we can talk on this side, but like who, the things that we've developed as personality or characters, where do we get those from? I was just on the phone talking to somebody earlier this evening, and we were saying sometimes you pick different things up from your family. Or you talk a certain way because your family talk that way. Or you say, I had a guy I went to school with, and this is church unusual. I had a guy I went to LSU, and I had a class with him. I can't remember what class it was. A guy named Andy from New Orleans. I remember Andy like yesterday, but if I met Andy, I'd give him a hug today. And Andy kind of just came drawn to me in class. So me and Andy, we was the only two young black dudes in the class, just being honest. So we sitting there talking to each other. So me and Andy talking. And so every other word out of Andy's mouth is a cuss word. Every other word. No. Y'all understand? I'm talking about every other word. He wasn't flinching, and I was flinching. I was like, whoa. And he was dropping them big ones. You know, they got big ones. He was dropping them, and he was like, and I was like, whoa. And he's talking. He's not whispering. He's talking loud. Like he wasn't like yelling, but it's just like, and then I come from a different place. I come from a different place where you don't, those are not your words. Okay. And I was about to judge him. Now, I've never been that type of person. But I was about to be like, man, because I was about to correct him. I'd be like, hey, man, listen, I'm a Christian. I need you to stop cussing around me so much because you're hurting my spirit. You know, that's how we do it, right? You know, you're offending me. Now, it can't do nothing to you. All right, listen, this is the stuff we got in our head. But, you know, I'm going to correct him right now. But I'd have corrected Andy. I'd have lost it. I'd have lost Andy. So, and the Holy Spirit talked to me. I was a younger man. The Holy Spirit talked to me. And he said, you know, he said, everybody ain't grow up the same way. He said, you know how you got your accent? You know, everybody got their little accent from wherever they're from, right? Y'all got y'all's, right? You got the way you grew up talking, right? Well, some people grew up talking that way. That leads me to my next point. I got to get to the scripture, but the Holy Spirit helped me. He talked to me. Your first object of mind should not be to save somebody. It should be to love them. If you always come into me telling me that I need to be saved, and that's the first thing you told me, what you're telling me is something is wrong with me. Now, I don't even know you for you to be able to tell me something wrong with me for me to listen to you. Now, I done threw my guards up because you're trying to save me. Some people don't even know what being saved is. Our commandment is to love your neighbor, not to save your neighbor. Huh? What's the great commandment? To love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love the Lord your God with everything, then love your neighbor. He didn't say save your neighbor. Now, your neighbor will be saved, but it's only by, how did you get saved? For God so that he gave. You see that? So the mentality is, so now you need to get saved. You need to be saved. Maybe a true statement, but how are you approaching this? Are you approaching like you're the better being? Don't forget, Ephesians 2 said, don't forget, just a little while ago, you was in the earth without a God. Don't forget that you was the one. Yesterday you was without a God because you couldn't hear, because you was on whatever you was on. Don't forget. Every creation is God's creation. Uh-oh. All of them are God's creation. The difference between you and them, I really like to tell people this because it makes you humble. It makes you realize that you're totally dependent on God. Because, you know, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for all of us right now. We're one hand grab away from being back condemned to hell. We're one hand loose away. All right, it's not for us to think that we've gotten so far up the road. That's why he said, let no man think more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, for God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That's scripture, right? Right? Now listen. They're all God's creations. The difference between you and them is that you realize you have a relationship and you decide to take the key and unlock the door, Jesus. you decided to receive and let him be Lord. But the devil can't create nothing. He didn't create no spirits. Do they have a spirit or not have a spirit? We don't talk about that too much. We don't think about that too much, huh? We don't know. They got to be. Yeah, they must be born again. They must be born again. Yes, they must come to the realization of who Jesus is and him being Lord and letting him be Lord. All right? Understand it? But that's God's creation, not yours. So it's not for you to be feeling no kind of way about it. Yeah, you should feel something, love. It ain't your job to condemn nobody. And we do that. I say we do it. We do it as a church as a whole. We do those different things. You know, they got a lot of stuff going on in church, boy. They got a lot of characteristics in church, boy. They got a lot of gossiping, a lot of judging, a lot of talking. You got to learn how to love people that go to church with you, your fellow members. Huh? There's a lot of love. You got to learn how to do that. All that's in this chapter. But that's God's child. The scriptures are talking about at the end, it says, forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you. Now, we jump to think that somebody ran into you, or they stepped on your foot, or they made you mad, they talked about you, and so now you got to forgive them. No, sometimes you have to forgive other people. I was talking about this last time, but somebody walk in and they don't look like you, and so you become offended because you think that they shouldn't be looking like this. She wearing her dress too short. She shouldn't have came to church with that dress on like that. Right? And we know. I understand. All right? But so now you're offended. No, forgive her. You came in and said some words you wouldn't have said. Now you're offended. No, forgive her. Offended, forgive him. Offended, forgive him. Offended, forgive him. Offended, forgive him. Which one? Yeah, the scripture says you have offense against your brother. You know, don't go give your gift. Don't go plant your seed. Get it together. Forgive first, because he understands the principle. Forgive. Everybody say forgive. It's the greatest miracle there is forgiveness. Jesus said, what is greater? What is greater? For me to say, rise up and walk, or to say your sins are forgiven of thee? Because they were trying to question it. These are the greatest miracles for their sins to be forgiven. And I have the power to forgive sins. So now we go back. Remember that go take a tally of your life. Go take a tally of everything. Now, when I say this, I like to break the religious mindset. Our minds go into the you ever heard people say, and it's a negative context, but say your mind in the gutter. You ever heard somebody say that before? Yeah, your mind be in the gutter with this too. And they got gutters all over the place. And they got religious gutters. And so somebody say a statement, your mind goes there. Watch this. Take a tally of your life and find out what's in there that doesn't look like him. And then find out where it came from. We all got ways. And we all got different understanding, different things that we've learned. Me, all of us. It's probably a yet unfolding battle that we're just going to have until we get our glorified bodies and our glorified mind. But truth of the matter is, you got to, on a day-to-day basis, you got to find out. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, right? That scripture, Philippians 2:5. The Bible talking about in the beginning, we made in his image. We got to find out what's in us that doesn't look like him. And that's the thing that's stopping us. Well, do a tally. Do a tally. Sometimes it's our attitude. Sometimes it's the way we approach things. Sometimes it's the way we think. Sometimes we think we better. Jesus said, I ain't nothing but what my Father made me. I don't do nothing what my Father told me to do. Without him, I can do nothing. That is the most humbling statement I've ever heard somebody say, that I ain't got nothing. If I testify myself, my witness is not true. Jesus said that. It's so many different things that we have and we clutch on to, and it's a part of us. But your salvation is a day-to-day thing. You gotta purge on a consistent, you gotta get born again tomorrow. Huh? Yeah. You're going to get saved again tomorrow. I know you got a certificate, but you're going to get saved again tomorrow. Yes, sir. But when does it stop? When does, because it once for all, like once you did it, then you just, that's it? No. It's a constant process. All right, how many of y'all saved? Y'all saved? Come on, come on. You don't want to say it now because I'm, you know what I'm about to say. You saved, right? Everybody saved, right? All right. But how many of you still got some ways you're trying to get over? Or some things you're trying to drop? Or why they ain't? Oh, no, you were saved then. You got to say, how long you been saved? How long you been saved? Say how long you been saved? How long you been saved? Say it. You don't know? 42 years. All right, well, come on. Yeah, for me, it's forever. I mean, it's just, all right. Why didn't it happen? Why didn't old things pass away? Behold, all things become new. That's our scripture, right? Why are we still dealing with that same thing we trying to drop? Because it's a constant process. It's yet unfolding. You'll work out your salvation. You see that? Now, we as individuals get that, then the church as a whole will get that. Are y'all with me? We're becoming more. We're growing up into him. The scripture now, I ain't got time to go read it, but it says we're growing up into him in all things. Until we come to the, let's read it. It hit home so much. I want to read chapter 3, but I ain't got time. So we're going to jump chapter 4. And then till we all come, verse 11, he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come, how many of us? Into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, the unity of the faith, the unity of the faith, the unity of the faith. And the faith works by what? Huh? What does faith work by? So now you can't, don't start talking about faith without love being involved. Don't you preach no faith scriptures. Don't you have no faith message. Don't you say nothing about faith. Don't you say you using your faith until your love is in full operation. So every time you see faith, you cannot see faith without love, because faith works by love. All right, right, right. Like love is the air in the faith. Love is the heartbeat of the faith. There is no faith without love. If you don't have a revelation of love, you don't have a revelation of faith. You can confess it and say it all day long, but the reason that it doesn't come to pass, because you don't have a revelation of love. Y'all get it? So whenever you see faith in the Bible, you can't separate it from love. Because faith, which worketh. All right. So now we come into the unity of the faith, which is the unity of the love. And the knowledge, now we read this stuff fast, but the knowledge of the Son of God, the big S. Talking about Jesus. So now we come to the unity of the faith and built on love and knowledge of Jesus. So now you come to unify and you come to know Jesus until a perfect man, talking about purpose, until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. You'd be mad if I called you a child. Right? But your biological, physical age has nothing to do with this. They told Jesus, I love this. I was reading it. And Jesus said, You of your father, the devil. He started talking to another day, reading the gospel. He said, You talking about you, your father is Abraham, but with a greater one than Abraham is here. And he started talking to that, and he said, Abraham was glad. He said this. He said, Abraham was glad when my day came. They say, well, you're not even 50 years old. How you going to say what happened to Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. I listened to the dude reading the audio book, and he said, before Abraham. I said, Lord Jesus, I'm about to pull a car over. Before Abraham was. So it wasn't about that age thing. You know, John the Baptist had an age problem. John the Baptist was Jesus' older cousin. So he thought Jesus was going crazy. Little cuz don't know what he's talking about. He started talking about turning the other cheek. He thought, there's an age problem. I've been in ministry all these years. You come out here and you're going to get baptized and you start talking about love everybody. No, that ain't what it's supposed to be. Age problem. It's not about your biological age. You know, he who was a general yesterday is not a general today, depending on the Holy Ghost. I ain't got time to go read it, but there's a story. There's a magnificent story. And apostles told a story before, and I think he told it in school. But there's a magnificent story in Kings about a young prophet and an old prophet. And God told the young prophet, he said, I want you to go to the city and speak to that king and give him what thus says the Lord and tell him what the Lord. He said, but when you go, and I'm just doing it for seniority, for age. I'm gonna tell you what your age is. He said, when you go, don't you stop. Don't you eat with nobody. You go straight there, tell him what I say, and you come straight home. Don't you stop. Don't you talk to nobody. Young prophet goes. The king put his hand out to talk to rebuke him for what he was saying, and his hand withered. The young prophet was able to finish saying what the Lord said and then restore the king's hand. All right? So the king's trying to get him to eat because, you know, the king, he blessed now because he got his hand back. He told himself, trying to get him to eat. That's a proper thing to do. He said, no, Lord told me don't eat with nobody, don't drink with nobody. I'm going home. I got to go straight back. Go straight down, come straight back. He get on the road. The old prophet come catch him. Old prophet say, come in and eat with me. You know, come eat. The preachers be liking to eat with each other, boy. They like to go to dinner and stuff, right? Let's go. Come eat with me. He said, no, the Lord told me to go straight there and come straight back. It's a commandment of the Lord. The old prophet say, but am I not a prophet also? Don't I hear God too? Uh-oh. What you going to do now? Ooh, Christ is a belief. Don't I hear God also? Surely you can come in and eat with me. Well, young prophet didn't realize that it wasn't about the general yesterday. No, this is about what God is saying. Went in and ate with him. And he's sitting at the table. God dog it. He's sitting at the table. Now he got a real word from the Lord. The older prophet, now he got a real word from the Lord and said, because you didn't listen to the voice of God, you're going to sleep with your fathers today. In terminology, today is the day you're going to die. He's the same one that invited him in to eat. Uh-oh. And they said the boy come out. I guess he had to be the scariest moment in your life. I probably wouldn't have left the house. You got to come in here and kill me. I'm not. You gonna kill me out in the street. Yeah, in the street. And they say now he was on his donkey. And they say lion came out and devoured the man. And the donkey and the lion were standing next to each other. Now that showed there was God right there, because the lion would have ate him and then jumped on the donkey, right? No, it was God. The growing up, the seniority, the maturity is in knowing Christ, is in knowing love. Be no more children tossed to and fro. It is not your body. I'm a 32-year-old man, but if I don't know love, I'm just a child. You get me? I'm as far as the things of God are concerned, I'm not grown because I don't know love. That's why children sometimes can function in the spirit quicker than we can. Because they're innocent. Suffer little children to come unto me. Because they're innocent. I know I'm using both sides of children. But they're innocent. They're innocent and they can function in love better because they ain't got no rocks. So now you gotta be a grown child. Ooh, there's a flavor that play with your mind, don't it? You gotta be a grown child, not a child, not an immature child. But you gotta have childlike faith. But I gotta grow up. That's me growing up. But it seems like it doesn't make any sense. I heard a pastor say this one time. He said, in order to go higher, you gotta go deeper. You ever heard him say that before? In order to go higher, you gotta go deeper. It seems like you're reaching for that thing, but the thing is, you gotta go deeper in order to go higher. It just doesn't make sense. The cedar tree goes 3 feet for every 1 foot above the ground, it goes 3 in the ground. Bible talks about the mighty cedar. So that means it's 3 times deeper than it is up the ground. You get it? To go higher, you got to go deeper. It seems like it don't make sense, but it seems like I got to grow up, I got to be a child. Does that make sense to you? Are y'all with me? Like, to grow up, I got to have this childlike faith, and I got to drop my rocks. Think about how innocent it was when we were children. We weren't really mad at nobody. We didn't know what black and white was. I mean, you saw the different color of skin, but you didn't really know something until somebody taught you something. You didn't know how it was to be mad at somebody. You didn't know how it was to be whatever. It's just like it was just, I'm moldable. I'm open. I'll jump if you tell me to jump. It was just that type of thing. And in the flow of that, you got to get back to be no more children tossed to and fro and cared about with every wind of doctrine, but the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. But speak, no, let me go again, Brian. So you give me my signals. All right. But speaking, verse 15, but speaking the truth in what? Now, you just can't be talking about you speaking the truth. Well, it's true. No, wasn't in love, though. Well, it's true. No, what? It really ain't true if it wasn't in love. Speaking the truth in love. What's the next line? Now, how many things? How many of them we got to grow up in? So we got to grow up into him. Now, it just said grow up in all things. It said grow up into him. Like I'm growing up into, you know, like a seed grows up into a tree. All right, that terminology, you see what I'm saying? Like a baby turns into a man or a woman, right? A baby turns, all right, we're growing up into him. I don't want to sound deep. That's really what it means. You're growing up into Christ. Like you're growing, like you're growing from a child into him, to a grown man, him, the man Jesus. All right, you got it? Are you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to say it like a certain way. It's like you're growing. I'm gonna say it again. Like you're growing from a puppy to a grown dog. You know what I'm saying? Like you're transforming. May grow up into him in how many things? How many? So that means you can't pick the ones you won't keep. And the ones that are there that are not like him gotta be the ones that gotta go. That's the ones we got to kick out the door. No matter how much we feel like it makes us who we are. Boy, you know, this is really what it means to die, to be crucified with Christ. You know, Christ had to, he said, and I'm dealing with some things that we hold on to that we think it makes us. We've had it so long, we've been told it for so young, and when we've had it that we thought that it makes us who we are and it makes us our character. The only thing that makes you who you are is Jesus. A lot of things that we think that we are, we got to drop our identity for his identity. Watch this. It's hard, though. It's what it really means to be crucified. Because, you know, Jesus said, no, you don't take my life. I'm laying it down. I'm giving it up. Jesus could, y'all remember when they came, got Jesus, and when Jesus, they asked him who he was, and he said his name, they fell back? Y'all remember that? Y'all don't know that story? Hello, do y'all know that story? Yeah, they come to get him out in the garden, come get him to crucify him, and he said who he was, and they fell back. Then people couldn't take Jesus. But you realize he had to die, he had to put on the side who he thought he was. He had to put his identity on the side. He had to put up what made him Jesus of Nazareth. What made him the Messiah at that moment, he had to put that on the side to die. It's not an easy thing to do. I imagine Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. If you can't let this cup pass. I imagine he said that because I realized the ministry just started popping. Like we just started going off. We only 4 years in. We ain't had a 5-year anniversary yet. All these people are getting Lazarus. We raising them from the dead. Their eyes opening, they getting up and they walking. People are getting, they transforming. They're coming to know God. They're coming to know the love of God. You're 5 minutes, right? They're coming to know the love of God. And they're doing all these things. And then what I can imagine, because that was your identity then. They thought they knew Jesus as the healer. How you tell, they knew Jesus as the dead raiser, right? So if he's the dead, he's the one that raises the dead, then I know you by that. I read the other day, they said Lazarus was with him. He told Lazarus to get up. Then people was conspiring. They said they need to kill Lazarus too. Because he was one of the reasons that the people was following Jesus. Because they saw Jesus raising from the dead. So they knew it was truth and they knew he was dead. All right? So now he's identified as a person that raises people from the dead. Well, how does that person die? How can he die unless he puts that on the side? How can he die, Colton? He raises people from the dead. Lazarus come forth. And he said, loose him and let him go. And Lazarus had to get up and Lepkin had to let him go. And he had to live. How does that person die? How can you crucify him? You couldn't. You couldn't just come up and crucify him. The only way he would be able to die, he had to put who he thought he was or put his identity on the side for another. Set aside. See, that's what it really means to be crucified. We think is you're praying real hard and you don't be mad tomorrow. Right? Or you're praying real hard and you don't get no arguments. That's little stuff. Those are effects of dying. Y'all see that? We got to get to the root of it. Can we get to the root of it? Huh, y'all? Can we get to the root of it? We get to the root of what God is really saying to us. Those are the effects of that. No. That's easy stuff. That's easy stuff. Not be mad. That's easy. That's easy. All right. But you got to die. You got to put that thing on the side that you thought made you the reverend that you are. You got to put that thing on the side that sometimes those are the things. Now, you got to ask the Holy Ghost what it is, and you got to compare it to see what looks like Jesus, what doesn't look like him. Because sometimes you can be holding these rocks. You can be holding the rocks. You can be the one holding the rocks by the stone, and you don't think that's you. And you're so afraid that if you let this go, then you're going to compromise. There's a way to walk fully in grace with no compromise. Jesus did it. But we hold these things, and we hold these rocks, and we hold these, we have things that we hold, but I got to find out, does it look like Jesus? All right? I get it, all right? I get it, me too, I got some. But I got to find out, do it look like Jesus? Because if it doesn't look like Jesus, then I'm still living right there. And somewhere in there, he can't live through me. Is that making sense to you? No, that's what it means to die, though. That thing that you got, that you built your personality off of. You built your Christian faith. That's just what you built it on. Something that you done picked up, grandma told you, or somebody done told you, and you picked it up. Yeah, that's yours. So now you done built your identity on it. Well, does it look like Christ? If it doesn't like Christ, it got to go. Uh-oh. It's hard, though. I will not lie to you and say that it's easy, because it's not. It's hard to do. But it still got to be done. It was hard for Jesus to die, but it still had to be done. Hard for him to take them licks, but it still had to be done. It was hard for him to let them spit on him, knowing that I could wipe my finger, wipe all y'all out. But it still had to be done. That's love. That's growing up. You want to be a grown up? That's growing up. That's being mature. Amen. Amen. Y'all got a test next time, huh? They're supposed to have a test this week, wasn't y'all? It's not this week.